of Jesus, let your spirit move in this place. Oh, Lord, let your spirit enlighten our eyes to receive revelation today from your word. Speak to our hearts, oh God. Hallelujah. Amen. You remain standing, turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and we're going to read quite a few scriptures today. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through to 14. And while you're turning there, I'd like to ask you a question. If God was to speak to you today, and I know God speaks all the time, but if God would speak to you today, if He would delve into your life and uncover things that nobody else knows, and your thoughts and things, if God would speak to you, would you do what He said? Would you do? Many times people come into the house of God and God speaks and they acknowledge, yes, God spoke to me. But whatever it is, there is never a time when we come into the house of God when God doesn't want to speak to us. God does want to speak to us. And so it really comes down to whether we are ready to receive. See, when you throw seed, that seed is made to grow. It wants to grow, but it depends on the soil. And so is our heart ready? And if you're going to have ready soil and a ready heart, then you've got to be intentional. You can't just come to work, come to church, and you've been fighting the traffic and beeping your horn and saying all sorts of stuff against the other drivers and walk into the house of God and think that your heart's going to be ready to receive the word. No, you've got to be intentional about that and say, God, I just want, you know, I've had a hard heart this week, and God, I just want to soften my heart and be ready to receive the seed of your word. Amen. Good soil. We've got to get the weeds out. And sometimes you want the seed to grow, you've got to get rid of some weeds. Weeds are distractions, and you know, sometimes we can go through life, we didn't even want to get weeds, and somehow the weeds just come in. And so we pull the weeds out, we soften our heart and say, God, I need you to speak to me today. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. Jesus is saying, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Not far from now, there is coming an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they therefore were come together, and they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They still didn't really understand what Jesus was about. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And then Jesus says, but you shall receive. Everyone say receive. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. So you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, what I want you to realize is Jesus didn't speak this to a crowd. He didn't speak this to all of Christianity, although it applies to all of Christianity and it applies to all crowds. But Jesus spoke this to a local church. He said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, the ascension. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said also, you men of Galilee, why are you standing looking up in the sky? Why are you standing gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, he's coming back again one day. He's going to come back for his church. Shall so come in the manner as you have seen him go. He's going to come from the heavens. How many people are looking forward to Jesus coming back? Amen. They returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. When they were come in, they went up into the upper room. And Peter was there, and James was there, and John was there, and Andrew was there, and Philip was there, and Thomas was there, and Bartholomew was there, and Matthew was there, and James the son of Alphaeus was there, and Simon Zelotes was there, and Judas the brother of James was there. Peter was there. Catholic Church would claim Peter as the beginning of their church. And let me tell you, Peter was in the upper room when the Holy Ghost was poured out. And they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Mary was there as well. And with his brethren. They have a 10-day prayer meeting. Everyone say 10-day prayer meeting. 10 days. They tarried for 10 days. The Holy Spirit was poured out. Sometimes we can't even tarry 10 minutes. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Nah, not this time, unfortunately. No. Sometimes you've got to have hunger that will not let go. And then it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, in Acts 2 verse 1, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to point your attention to this, that in the Bible there was only one church. Doesn't matter what denominations say about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There was one church, and that church needed the Holy Spirit. They needed to be endued with power from on high. Unfortunately, in Christianity, we've separated ourselves into Pentecostal and non-Pentecostal. But if I read my Bible, the first church was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit is for every believer. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. The Holy Spirit is for you. It was for the first church. It's for the New Testament church. It's for everybody. It was for Mary. It was for Peter. It was for Thomas. It was for everybody. And so that one church could not do anything in and of themselves. They couldn't reach the world with their own power and intellect. They had to receive power from on high. And so today, I want to talk on this simple title, Living Beyond Myself. Living Beyond. Everyone say beyond. Living Beyond Myself. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. Lord, as we go back to the birthplace of the church today, this New Testament church, Lord, help us to receive revelation and inspiration, oh God, of what your intentions are for us as a church and as a body of believers in this, the year 2018, oh God. Lord, you're still pouring out your Spirit upon all flesh. Oh God, we love you. We want you to speak to us today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. You see, the day of Pentecost was a wonderful day in the history of the church. 120 who were in the upper room were filled with the Holy Ghost. And we rejoice, 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost. But that day of Pentecost was not just a once-off and never happened again. In fact, just 2 weeks ago on this Sunday morning, I saw more than 120. I saw more than 200 get the Holy Ghost in one service. There are services where thousands of people have been filled with the Holy Spirit. God is still pouring out His Holy Spirit. And so that early church were empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that they were empowered to do a work for God. And when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, they saw miracles, they saw signs and wonders. They saw things that were beyond themselves. How many people are thankful that we're not just left with our own intellect and knowledge and strength? Amen? But there is a power beyond ourselves. And so they saw miracles beyond themselves. It was the power of God. It was the power of God working through them. Not just hard work on their behalf. Yes, being a Christian and a missionary and all those things, Paul could tell you the same, that being a Christian is hard work, but you cannot do it without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to speak today about this ability when we are filled with the Spirit to live beyond ourselves. Every person, regardless of our station in life, regardless of which country we are from, regardless of our age, regardless of our socioeconomic standing, every single one of us has God-given potential to be something more than we are today. And we know deep down inside of us that we were created for more.
We were created for fruitfulness in our life. We were created to not live with guilt and without regrets. And we instinctively know that we have this unrealized potential, regardless of how much progress we have already made in our own strength. And yes, and some of us may have found some worldly success, and some of us may be strong in our personality. But there is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for every single one of us that helps us go beyond ourselves and to see God do things through us and God to do things in us that are beyond ourselves, living beyond myself. And so the big idea today is that God could do more with us. God could do more through us if we would allow ourselves to be filled with His Spirit. And so for those who haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you that is the promise for every believer. Doesn't matter what you call yourself. The Holy Spirit is a promise for every single believer. And for those of us who may have been walking with God a long time, and a lot of us here today, yes, we've been filled with the Spirit, but we've got to be continually filled with the Spirit of God. And there's scriptures in the Bible that says that you may be filled with the Spirit. And that word means to be continually filled with the Spirit of God. And so we can do, God can do more with us. We can live beyond ourselves. We were made for more. And that's why God wants to fill us with His Spirit and to empower us. When I traveled with my parents, back in 1989, we went to the USA for 6 weeks. And I think originally it was meant to be a holiday, a six-week holiday, but it ended up being an evangelistic crusade as we traveled 22 states of America, preaching basically, it felt like, every night, but probably on average every second night. We preached as we went around the U.S., and I was just a young 12-year-old, and my dad, he had a few messages, but we learned all of them by the time he had finished. We could complete his sentences. And so we traveled in that 6 weeks, 22 states, and sometimes my sister and I, they would get us to do things. They liked listening to our accent back then. America wasn't really aware of Australia. They had some crazy ideas, like they'd ask us how long it took us to drive to America. And I'm sorry if there's any Americans here today. And they would ask us which state is Australia in. And then all the usual questions like, are there kangaroos hopping down the street? Do you ride kangaroos to school? And to be honest, I told some lies and said, yeah. We put our school bag around their neck and just the saddle on. Off we go. It's a bumpy ride. But often we would go to Sunday school. And I remember in one Sunday school class, they had a proper sanctuary for the children, like we have in our new auditorium. And they sat us in two chairs up the front. And it was like question and answer. It felt like a grilling, you know. I was 12 years old then, and my sister would have been 10 or 11, and that they grilled us and asking us all these questions, and one of the children said, how long, you know, did it take you to drive here? And we were very confused that someone could be so silly, and we had to explain that Australia is across the ocean and that you can't drive, and we had to come in a plane. And all the children, they all wanted to come to Australia, and they'd seen Crocodile Dundee and they had seen all that sort of stuff, and they wanted to come and experience Australia. And I give it to them, they wanted to come to the best place in the world, Australia. All right, but the thing is, the destination they had in mind was good, but they were thinking they could drive here. They had a good destination in mind, but they had chosen the wrong way to get here. You can't drive to Australia. And so that's a funny story, but sometimes as Christians, we have a good destination in mind, but we have the wrong way of getting there. And very often, we know that God has more for us. And we know that we were made for more, and we desire to live in that realm of the Spirit where we are Spirit-led and all of that, but we often choose the wrong way to get there. And so we become dependent on ourselves. We think, oh, you know, if I just go to church more, if I give more, if I sing louder and all of that, that somehow that I'm gonna be empowered by God. Well, the destination is good, but you've chosen the wrong way to get there. All of those things will result from a spiritual transformation. All of those activities, Bible reading and prayer and church attendance and giving, they're all wonderful things, and they are a result of a spiritual renewal. But the only way that you're going to live beyond yourself is to be filled with the Spirit of God. To be filled with the Spirit of God. And so living the spiritual life is the polar opposite to living this worldly life. Because as we raise our children, as parents, our goal is that our children become more independent. Yes? We're looking forward to that day when we can throw the nappies out. All right? We're looking to that day when they can do their own thing. They can tidy their own room, when they can tie their own shoelaces, where they can make their own bed, where they can, you know, get themselves around town, because it releases the pressure off us. And believe it or not, we look forward to that, and then when it all happens, we miss it. Oh, if only they would ring me and ask them to take them to school again. If only they would come jump into bed and need a cuddle in the middle of the night. They'd become independent, because that's the way we raise them. And so in the natural, we're looking for our children to become more independent. But in the spiritual, yes, we may start off as newborn babes thinking that somehow we have some independence. But as we grow spiritually, as we spiritually mature, we are not maturing towards independence, okay? We are maturing towards more dependence. That we not become independent and of our own power and our own thinking and all of that. No, that we become more dependent on God. So the longer we walk with God, the more we realize that we've got nothing of ourselves. That we can't do it in our own strength. That we can't make it through this life just relying on, you know, doing good things. But we need to become more dependent on God. That if I'm not filled with the Spirit of God, I can't do this. I can't withstand temptation. I can't live a holy life unless I am filled with the Spirit of God. So as we mature spiritually, we become more dependent on God. And so it is impossible to grow. You know, we want to grow spiritually. It's a good destination, but we often take the wrong way to get there. And so we cannot grow spiritually by doing more. Yes, there are religious things in our life that we do, like prayer and worship, when we are spiritually revived. But to live beyond yourself, get this today, to live beyond yourself, you need something beyond yourself. Amen? Praise God. An eight-year-old boy came and attended a children's revival, and the little boy was from this rough neighborhood. He was from a rough family. He was neglected by his parents. He was lost. And he came to that church service, and obviously he was in need of more. This pastor tells his story, Brother Kinsey actually, he told this story that night we went and prayed at the altar and God filled him with the Holy Spirit and he began to speak with other tongues, just like they did in the Bible. As the Spirit gave the utterance, as we read in the book of Acts, this young boy who was from a rough neighborhood, he was from, you know, his parents were drug addicts and drunkards and all of that. And this young boy was so overwhelmed with the joy of God's presence. He didn't have much in life. And maybe that's what prompted him. He asked his Sunday school teacher in that little prayer service, he said, "Can I have as much of this as I want? Can I have as much of this as I want?" Let me tell you, there is as much of God's power as you want. God will fill you with the Spirit. You can be filled with the Spirit. Doesn't matter if it was 30 years ago. God wants to fill you afresh and anew. And that's why the Bible calls it rivers of living water. Rivers. Everybody say rivers. Anybody who likes to get out in the bush know that you got to drink from living water. And still around here, when you get up in the mountains, you can drink just straight from the river. And yeah, it might be a little bit of green stuff growing on the sides, but that's all good. That shows me that it's healthy. And so when I walk up to that water and I still drink out of those little creeks, you bend down. It doesn't look very nice. My mum wouldn't approve of it. You know, she taught me to drink out of a cup. But you bend down on those rocks and you put your mouth right down and you kiss the water and drink it up. But before you do that, there's some things you got to watch, you know. Obviously, you want to make sure that you're about 50 meters up, there's not a dead kangaroo laying in there. But you also look for some clarity in the water. But there's something else. You're looking for some water, some fresh water flowing in and water flowing out. Yeah? And so that's living water. And the same is with us. Sometimes we can become stagnant in our life. And we need those rivers of living water to begin flowing again in our life, to be refilled afresh and anew with that, with those living water in our life. And just like that little boy said, can I have as much of this as I want? I tell you, there's living water on offer here today. You can be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that little analogy of the river, the water flowing in and the water flowing out, Jesus said, he says, you will be endured with power from on high. So the water is going to flow in. And he said, that you may be witnesses unto me. Okay? So he said, I'm going to let the water flow in, but you got to let the water flow out as well, so that you can be witnesses. And so this is what I'm talking about, living beyond ourselves, letting the power of the Holy Spirit move in us to lead us and to guide us. You see, that little boy, he wanted some more. And I tell you, there is more of God than you can drink in your whole lifetime. God is seeking to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Praise God. And so Paul, in Acts chapter 19, Paul, there's some believers in Ephesus, and they were believers. The Bible says that they were believers for all intents and purposes. They were having church service. They were reading their Bible, and they were praying. And Paul goes to visit that church in Ephesus, and he goes in there. It says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found some disciples, Christians, believers, disciples, living for God the best they knew how. And he walks in, and the first thing he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's more. There's more. You can live beyond yourself. There's more of God. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, well, we haven't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he asked them how if they'd been baptized. And then the Bible says that they were baptized. Paul laid his hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul knew that that little group of believers couldn't make it unless they were endued with power from on high. He says, it's great. It's good to have this body of believers studying the word and praying and doing their best to live for God. But Paul says to him, he goes, do you realize that you were made for more, that you can do more? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received? In Acts chapter 2, the first church in the book of Acts, you know, before they could even start their journey on doing what God wanted them to do, we read it already, before they could even do anything, the Bible says that they tarried 10 days and God poured out the Holy Spirit, and then they went from there. They went to another level. The Bible says they turned the world upside down. I've come to tell you today, it doesn't matter what anybody has told you in the past, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. For every believer. We can all be filled with the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit was the fuel for the first church, and it is still the fuel for us today. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can live beyond ourselves. I thank God. I'm not smart enough to preach, but under the, you know, a good message, but under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God can use me to speak to all the needs in this place. Yeah? You know, there's times that, you know, of course, when I'm helping people, I know things that may be going on in people's lives. But for the vast majority, I don't know what happened this week. I don't know what happened last week. I don't know what circumstances you were faced with. But God knows. And under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I can go beyond little old Jonathan Downs. Because I'm nothing. But when God begins to use me as an oracle under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I can go beyond myself. And you ought to. You ought to thank God that I'm Spirit-filled, because you wouldn't like just me. But under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God can use me. And all of us, we're nothing unless God fills us with his Spirit. We can live beyond ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm preaching an old-fashioned Pentecostal message today. Amen. You see, it's good. It's good to believe in Pentecost. But it wasn't a believed-in Pentecost that turned the world upside down. It was a received Pentecost that turned the world upside down. Let me show you some scriptures that tells us that the Holy Ghost is for everybody. Everybody say it's for me as well. Yeah. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And we are his witnesses, Acts 5, of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? All you need to do is ask and receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. There is a power that will enable you to live beyond yourself. Praise God. And so God's presence with me, God's presence in me, God's presence leading me, there is a way that we can live beyond ourselves. Every single one of us were made for more. Everybody say more. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 5. Lots of scriptures today. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 5. I'm going to read it, but I've only got verse 5 up there. It says, I am the vine in verse 1, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. More. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. And Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. You see, you take a branch off that vine, it won't survive by itself. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Look at this. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, without God, without his Spirit, we can do nothing. So we got to be filled with the Spirit, walking in the leading of the Spirit. And I use that term to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Amen. Now let's talk about rest. Everybody say rest. Now the last, I've been home from India almost 2 weeks. But for some reason, I still haven't recovered. I think I burned the candle at both ends there and got home and then hit the ground running. I was excited to be home and I had soccer training and was down the office here and there and traveling to Cootamundra, all that. And just the last couple of days, I said to Melanie, I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't get out of bed. And she goes, well, you've got to give yourself some time to recover. I've been wondering when you were going to slow down and try to recover. And so you find that, you know, old age ain't for sissies, you know. It's hard being old, especially when the weather gets cold. And what makes matters worse is we're waiting for the guy to come install our heater. So he's going to install that on Thursday. In the meantime, we're living like Eskimos around there. But you know, I like the idea of rest, but there is a spiritual rest. There is a spiritual rest. In Isaiah 28, verse 11, says this. I think it's going to be on the screen. Yes, it says, for with stammering lips and another tongue. We know that was the evidence of being filled with the Spirit in the New Testament. But Isaiah is prophesying of this supernatural rest where we can go beyond ourselves. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this stammering lips and another tongue, this infilling of the Holy Spirit. He said, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. You see, God has a rest for us. To be able to live beyond ourselves, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, a rest. If you're weary, there is a rest in the Holy Spirit. If you are dry, there is a refreshing in the Holy Spirit. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, I'm going to read from a different version. I don't usually do that, but for the sake of clarity, it says, so don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows. Everybody say shadows. They're shadows of the reality yet to come. And who's the reality? And Christ himself is that reality. The Sabbath, to keep the Sabbath, was a shadow. But Jesus was the reality. Now, last night, there was a conference in Sydney, and the visiting preacher was told a story about me. And I just happened to be watching it. Maybe he didn't know. Story about a snake and all this sort of stuff. I took him to see some kangaroos and we saw some snakes. Anyway, he was talking about how much he didn't like snakes and he just wanted to get away from there. We saw a big brown snake laying on the side of the dam. And he said something, he goes, you know, he calls me Jono. He says, you know, Jono is not the best looking guy. He goes, I wasn't looking forward to him having to resuscitate me with mouth to mouth. I was offended. I thought I was a good looking guy. And as good looking as I think I am, my wife didn't fall in love with my shadow. And sometimes the Sabbath was the shadow, but Jesus was the reality. As good looking as my shadow is, and it's not, it's round now, it's big. But she didn't fall in love with my shadow. And so this is it. The Bible says, for these rules are only shadows of the reality to come. You see, we don't fall in love with those things. We fall in love with Jesus. With the infilling of his spirit, he says, I have not leave you orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you. There is a rest for the stress today. There is a refreshing. And Isaiah prophesied about it. He said, this is the rest. This is the refreshing. This Holy Spirit experience will take you beyond yourself. Jesus is far more fulfilling than a shadow. Amen. You can find rest. Jesus is that rest. He's not rest that you have once a week, but when you establish a relationship with God and when you are filled with his spirit and when you are led by his spirit, you can find rest for your souls. And just as the physical Sabbath provided a physical rest and a sanctification for the Israelites under that old covenant, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit under the new covenant in the New Testament church, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is that spiritual rest and that sanctification for the New Testament church. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9, it says this, and I love this scripture. I preached a message a few years ago called Rest for the Stressed. This was my text. Hebrews, have you got it there? Did I give it to you guys? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. Anyway, I'm going to read it. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself cleansed himself from his works. We're no longer limited by our own works. But we can live beyond ourselves in the rest of God, has ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any man fall according to the example of disobedience. And so there is a rest. And for some of us, we look at that and say, oh, Pastor, I'm glad that there is a rest. There is a rest. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can live beyond yourself. It's not just your intellect. It's not your strength. But when you are filled with the Spirit and God begins to work through you, you enter into that rest as God leads and guides you and strengthens you. And that's why Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And so, why did Paul say that? Well, there's a number of reasons why he said that, but look at this. In John chapter 16 and verse 8, the Bible says that the Spirit convicts us of sin. If you're filled with the Spirit and you start going down the wrong track, the Holy Spirit says, it convicts us of sin. The Spirit guides us into all truth. Here's the Spirit of God. The Bible says, and we to worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when you are filled with his Spirit, it guides you into all truth. It leads us in our life. It leads us into our purpose that God has for us. When our spirit and his spirit are united, it leads us into the life that God has for us. It sanctifies us. How do you become holy? When you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It empowers us. We've talked about that so much. To go beyond ourselves, it empowers us. Throw that next slide up. The Holy Spirit produces in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, longs. Everyone say long. Everyone say suffering. If you want to know what the definition of long suffering is, it means suffering long. And none of us in and of ourselves want to suffer long. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can go beyond yourself. And there's some people that you would have lost your patience with. But because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of long suffering comes out. And somebody says to you, hey, Brother Austin, how can you be so long-suffering? We'll say, it's not me. I'm not long-suffering, but Christ in me. You see, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. It empowers me to go beyond myself and to do things that aren't part of my personality. But it's the Spirit of God that empowers me to be long-suffering, to show love and patience and kindness and all those things. The Spirit sets me free from the law of sin and death. You see, it's very hard to live the Christian life and to live a life without sin. We keep getting drawn back into the works of the flesh. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be set free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit comforts us. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you. And so there they are, 120 in the upper room. The Holy Spirit fills the room. The presence of God comes in there. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And just as Isaiah prophesied, this was the promised rest. This was the promised presence of the Almighty God. And so the Holy Spirit is that promised rest. It gives us the ability to live beyond ourselves. And I want to tell everybody today that it doesn't matter what denominations say about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for every single one of us. We need, Justin, as the first church needed, to be endued with power from on high. And some of us here today, we were filled with the Spirit many years ago, but we need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to let that water begin to flow in again. Get that stagnant. You know, sometimes even as Christians, our life can begin to smell. And maybe we even smell it ourselves and things and the words that are coming out of our mouth and the way we are reacting and the way we are responding to different things and the words we're saying and all of that. We say, oh, my life is beginning to stink. Let me tell you what fixes up the stink. Just let some living water begin to flow in again. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. You live beyond yourself. And so we are living in the last days. Now more than ever, we need to be filled with the Spirit. You see, it seems right now, and in basketball they have a term. It's called a full court press. And for those that play basketball, I don't know anyone around here. Brother Joel plays. He would know what I'm talking about. But a full court press means there's not much time left. And so we want to get the ball back. All right, so what we do is we press up the court. And so as there, we don't wait for them to bring the ball to us, okay, because we're going to get that ball back. So we've got some basketballers here, Mef's here. And so we go up, and as they throw the ball in, we press right high up the court because we want to get a turnover. We want to get the ball back. And you know, the devil's in a full court press right now. And we can't stand unless we're filled with the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And I want to show Him that I'm also in a full court press. That in the last days, I'm not looking to just wind down at the end of my Christian life, but I'm getting ready to wind up. I'm looking forward to finishing strong. I haven't run this race to just fall over the line, but I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to live beyond myself. We can live beyond ourselves. If the musicians could come, I want to tell you the best thing that you can do for your marriage is to be filled with the Spirit, to live beyond yourself. The greatest thing that you can do for this church is to be filled with the Spirit. The greatest thing you can do for this church is to be filled with the Spirit. The greatest thing you can do for your children is to live beyond yourself and be Spirit-led and Spirit-filled. The greatest thing, singles, that you can do for your future spouse is to be filled with the Spirit. The best thing you can do for a lost world is to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Let's all stand in this place today. I want to invite you today, if you want to come and you want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit today, I believe God can fill you today. Maybe you need to come and you just need to bow your knee and say, God, I need a fresh touch of your Spirit in my life. I want to tell you, there's rivers of living water. There's rivers of living water. I'm setting our mind to a spiritual renewal. In just 2 weeks' time, I tied it all in to bring Brother Sham in here. Maybe you won't receive the Holy Ghost today. God wants to fill you today, but start seeking the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill you to overflowing with that Spirit. If you haven't been born again and filled with the Spirit, God wants to fill you. You can't do it on your own. You've got to be filled with His Spirit. Then He answered and said unto me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's all lift our hands all across this place. If you want to come and pray at this altar there, you come here with hunger this morning. If you come with hunger, God will fill you with his Spirit. You can live beyond yourself. Beyond your weaknesses and your failings, God can fill you with his Holy Spirit today. Look at people coming today. They know, I can't do this on my own. I need a fresh touch of the Spirit of God in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If our ministers could come and pray at this altar. Hallelujah, Jesus, we love you, Lord. Oh, I will soar with you. Your Spirit leads me on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.